Without sedition, his lies would be as shady as a twiddler with no proof.
This was a fraudulent
electoral buy.
We're going to walk down, and I'll be there with you. We're going to walk down. We're going to walk down. Anyone you want, but I think right here, we're going to walk down to the Capitol.
He kept saying we, but he didn't go with you. He does not give a damn about you. He went home to watch it on TV. You're just entertainment for him. And, of course, a steady stream of merchandise sales. You know, when I saw the events at the Capitol last Wednesday, I was more upset than I can ever remember. I think I said so on air. And a lot of people have said to me since, what about 9/11, Stephen? Well, yeah, that is the most horrible day in America's history. But I want to point out, no Americans were cheering for the terrorists back then. No one was making excuses for the terrorists. No one was pretending that they weren't terrorists. And now that we've had some time to learn more and see more of what happened on that terrible day last week, all I can think is, oh, Stephen from last week, you sweet, naive child, how could you have been so calm? Because this attack was far worse than it first looked. The terrorists who stormed the Capitol weren't just a bunch of yahoos fed a steady diet of lies, vape juice, and monster energy drink. This was a coordinated and planned attempt to terrorize, if not kill, our nation's elected leaders. Because we're learning that those rioters brought more than just stupid hats and patchy beards. The chief of the Capitol Police, who has since resigned, was shocked by what he saw, telling the Washington Post they came with riot helmets, gas masks, shields, pepper spray, fireworks, climbing gear, explosives, metal pipes, baseball bats. Meanwhile, at the George Floyd protest this summer, they wouldn't let you bring a hoagie because it might make the police hangry. Oh, but wait, there's worse. Here's a, for some reason, underreported detail. Pipe bombs were found at both the DNC and RNC buildings, which the former Capitol Police chief now suspects were an intentional effort to draw officers away from the Capitol perimeter. That is some professional-level insurgency tactics committed by homegrown terrorists on a jughead jihad. They're yee-hotties! To understand the true horror that was perpetrated in our Capitol building, just look at graphic moments like these, where rioters nearly crushed an officer to death who was stuck in a doorway, and then grabbed another officer, dragged him down the steps, and proceeded to beat him with poles bearing the American flag while chanting USA. So it's hard to pin down exactly what these idiots believe in. Black Lives Matter? Oh, no. Blue Lives Matter? Yes. But only if we're not currently trying to murder them with the stars and stripes. And it could have been even worse. Another terrorist was arrested after authorities searched his car and found 11 Molotov cocktails.
See ya.
Donnie was cutting every link between himself and the coup. It made him sick to have to turn the presidency over to the guys who stole it. Still, days after the riots, they were banning everyone from getting on a flight. When they detained Colby in the terminal, he had two duffel bags full of Nancy Pelosi's vacation Polaroids before they sent him to federal prison. You know, we always called each other proud boys. Like I'd say to somebody, he's such a happy little baby, he's a proud boy. Do him need a diaper change? Do him want his baba? Get him his baba. Understand? Being president meant you were part of a crew. You were part of a family. It means no one can f*** around with you. It also means that you can f*** around with anybody as long as they devote all their new free time to following social media conspiracies. It's like a license to steal. It's a license to do anything.
We should not be surprised by any of this. These people who stormed the Capitol have eagerly swallowed divisive bullcrap at the president's rallies for 5 years. They now live in an alternate universe that is now collapsing in on itself. It's like a black hole of whiteness. Now, I've said before, violence is the last refuge of the incompetent. And if the last 4 years has taught us anything, it's that there are a lot of incompetent folks in our leadership. But I would invite all these disgruntled Americans to take a page out of Stacey Abrams' book. Don't endanger our country's greatest legacy, the peaceful transfer of power, just because your guy lost. Get out there and focus on winning the next round. Come on, Republicans. Don't go up to Capitol Hill for a government handout. Pull yourselves up by your own bootstraps and just work a little harder. And in 2022, when all of those Republicans who, make no mistake, are responsible for what happened today and are running for re-election, let's remember them for who they showed themselves to be today. Cynical cowards who believe the voters should not get to choose who governs this country. Let's hope the voters prove them all wrong.
The only way our democracy will survive this harrowing moment is if he is immediately removed from office by either the cabinet or the Congress and prosecuted. Anything less is tacit permission to continue to use his office and his influence after he leaves office to foment sedition and dismantle democracy. And if our government fails to act, they'll be assenting to the violent destruction of the democracy they claim to care so much about.
This morning, House Democrats formally introduced an article of impeachment against the president.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the honey drippers in the house tonight, and they just got back from Washington, D.C. I think they got something they want to say.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State. This is your president, okay? We are in the White House bathroom because they've shut off my Wi-Fi. And so we can get sort of the nearby McDonald's has a very strong Wi-Fi signal. So we're getting very powerful Wi-Fi. So this is a message, okay? A very powerful message from your favorite president. To MAGA Nation in our chat room, an adult friend finder, where we're free to talk and have great friendship, okay? And as you know, one of the most disgraceful things that's ever happened in our country happened today. I became the first president in history. That means like nobody's ever done it. In history, to be impeached twice for nothing. For a perfect extortion phone call, a perfect one. And the second time, you know, it was for a perfect, very inspirational, powerful speech rallying subhuman racist monsters to attack elderly people at the U.S. Capitol. It was a perfect rally, in other words, and now they're impeaching me twice. It's a total disgrace, and nobody's ever been impeached twice. Okay, Clinton, let's be honest, he shouldn't even count. He was impeached for things that, you know, believe me, they should have impeached Jeffrey Epstein at some of our parties, if that's an impeachment. And Nixon was too scared to get impeached. And then the other one was like some guy, Andrew Johnson. Nobody ever even heard of Andrew Johnson. You know, it's like so long ago, I don't even think that counts as sort of a strong modern day impeachment. So the point is, I have so many impeachments that I'm going, it's called a hat trick. That's what weak Canadians like Trudeau call it. You know, when you get three, we're going for a hat trick. I'm going to get a third impeachment in my last week, and then nobody will ever touch me. And I'm going to have the great help of that little sort of cute, like Sarah Palin fun size thing. What's it, Lauren Boba Fett? She's going to help me very strongly with my third and most powerful impeachment. So we'll see what happens. So this was supposed to be a very nice press conference, okay? My last one on my first term, we were going to announce some very strong pardons. And then all of a sudden, the Democrats, with a little help from very weak Republicans, sort of came out with Impeachment Hoax 2, the sequel. Okay, and like a lot of sequels, except for Home Alone 2, this one's a whole lot worse and more pathetic. But it's a total disgrace, and we don't know what's going on with the inauguration next week, because there was some, right, Mike, irregularities, they're called irregularities, that's what we're saying, we're being nice, but we're going to do it very peacefully, okay? We are a party, you see, hypothetically, if this were to happen with hypothetics, and they were to steal an election, I would say burn the country down. I would say burn it to the ground. But I'm not saying that, because MAGA is a party of peace, strong peace, tremendous, long-lasting Republican MAGA peace. So we don't do violence, okay? I might do violence on you. You're lucky that you're getting out of here. You know, I see fake news appointed a nice, pretty young woman to take your place. I wonder why, so Sleepy Joe doesn't have nasty you to deal with, right? Right. Okay, hopefully you're unemployed now. But I was going to issue some strong pardons. Now I have to do it very quickly. Everybody at the Capitol Hill, Patriot Party, total pardon. Ghislaine Maxwell, total pardon. And Bill Barr, in case anybody ever happens to find some emails instructing him on how he might get rid of Jeffrey Epstein. So that's it. And we have one quick letter from my now dead doctor, rest in power. Donald Trump not only is super healthy, but is also the most well-endowed patient I've ever had. And those were his last words.
From the clock in the hall and the bells in the steeple too, and up in the nursery. country, an absurd little bird is popping out to say cuckoo.
Cuckoo. Cuckoo.
Regretfully, cuckoo. They tell us, but firmly cuckoo. They compel us to say goodbye
cuckoo.
To you. So long, farewell, our readers, and good night.
I hate to go and leave this pretty sight.
So long, farewell, our readers, and adieu.
Adieu, adieu, to you and you and you.
So long, farewell, au revoir, I'll be the same.
I'd like to stay and taste my first champagne.
Yes?
No.
So long, farewell, I'll be the same, goodbye.
I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye. Goodbye.
I'm glad. To go, I cannot tell a lie.
I flit, I float, I fleetly flee, I fly.
The sun has gone to bed, and so must I.
So long, farewell, I'll be the same, goodbye, 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 goodbye.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
January 6th has been pretty earth-shattering for all of us. Talking with us today is House of Representatives Congressman Paul D. Tonko of the 20th District in New York. Welcome and thanks so much for joining us.
Initially, I wanted to talk to you about your accomplishments of 2020. A nice list of things that you've done, but lo and behold, Congressman Paul D. Tonko. And how are you, first of all? Are you okay?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Oh, that's good news. I understand you had a rather major adventure on January 6th.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it was all about heading over from the Rayburn office building where my office congressional office is located, and walking across the way to the Capitol to be able to participate in what is a very formal part of the process, but an important part that I think highlights the fact that we have three distinct branches of government, all co-equal, where the legislative branch, the Congress, certifies officially the results of the presidential election. And, you know, the individual states are reported and Congress approves the electors' statements and we go forward and we have what ought to be a peaceful transition, an orderly transition to a next administration. And so it was very exciting to participate and witness at least that historic nature of our electoral process. And so I was seated in the gallery, and for COVID compliance sake, there were about maybe a dozen to two dozen of us, as colleagues in the gallery space, and, the remainder, were on the floor, I believe 11 or 12 members on the floor. So as again, to be compliant with COVID regs. so as to maintain social distancing and to wear masks and the like. So that's where I found myself at that what appeared, what became then a very treacherous experience.
Yes, I imagine so. You were in the gallery. When you crossed over from the building, is it all underground or were you... It's an underground passageway, isn't it?
I walked through the underground area.
So were you aware?
At that point, there was no, there was no indication that there was any major disruption. There were those who had reported that there might be some outbursts of activity, but, no one really understood what that might mean. But the process was well underway. There were, speeches made by various leaders. Vice President Pence was presiding over the joint session of Congress. And,
Were you in the gallery? Did they attack the doors and you were inside?
Well, interestingly, we were sitting there and, of course, oblivious to what was going on outside because we're in the business of certifying the election. And there began to be like some sort of, you could sense a seriousness coming around about security. And before you knew it, there were reports that the upset individuals, the individuals who were making a statement, breached the Capitol and had broken through. And so I think some of us were picking that up on our phones or iPads, whatever, believing that, there's a ton of Capitol Police around and that, this would be handled. And before you knew it, you saw the speaker whisked away and and the majority leader, Steny Hoyer, and Speaker Pelosi and Majority Leader Hoyer, our Majority Whip Clyburn, I believe the Minority Leader, Kevin McCarthy, and others were then whisked away in rapid fashion. Slight pause in activity, but then started again.
But weren't you concerned? So, were you worried?
That was the first indication that there might be something serious. So they wanted to err on the side of safety. And things, while they paused for a moment, started up again. So I thought that, well, here we go. We have Jim McGovern at the helm now. And, we'll be moving along. And it paused again. And then you could realize that, then you heard the mounting, you could hear the mounting numbers. You can imagine numbers growing in great force. You could start hearing all of the action and people really screaming and raising their voices. You saw then the entire second floor, which is the chamber floor, evacuating. And I'm told they couldn't come up with the key, so they put furniture and desks up against the second floor doors, the many openings that you have to access the house. And, Capitol Police had pulled their guns and aimed their guns and were pushing back at trying to secure that second floor space. I was on the third floor space in the gallery that overviews, has a good bird's eye view of the action, again, for COVID compliance. So the dozen or two dozen of us were up there. And you heard, for those who have never been to the house, the gallery is divided in several sections, perhaps 14, 16 sections, all broken apart, defined by a railing. And so we are at a far end of the gallery, seated there. You heard then the Capitol Police yelling. They had police at each of the sections, and each of the gallery sections has a double door opening. Okay. And you heard them yelling across each other, lock the doors, lock the doors. And there's two sets of doors. And you could then hear all the rattling of the doors and the, the aggressiveness to break through, all while on the second floor, they were guarding that with guns aimed and barricading those doorways.
So you had police inside with you?
So our colleagues had all been removed from the second floor. We were trapped in the gallery, the dozen or two of us. We were then told to drop down because they were concerned they were going to break through on the second floor. They were beginning to shoot, you know, there were shots fired into the chamber, which was very threatening, all while you heard growing noise and pounding on those doors upstairs to enter in. And all you could think of is if they break through, mass chaos will happen. So we were told to drop down, and then almost immediately, as the plans for escape were unfolding, you're to reach under your chair and pull out this box that has always been there for safety's sake, and it was a gas mask. So you had to unpackage that gas mask and begin the process of putting on the mask, because there was tear gas, and they didn't know what other toxins might be being sprayed and filling the environment. The real challenge was we had to go from the farthest end of the gallery to the opposite end to get out of that space, all while they're telling you to move quickly, but at the same time, they're yelling, drop down, as the crowds were screaming and yelling to break in and screening all kinds of activity. You know, we had to straddle those railings, either go under or hurdle over them in each section. We are moving as quickly as we could, and I think we're operating totally on adrenaline, and got to that escape double doorway, and then ran down some five or six staircases, sets of stairs, to do our getaway and escape from that unruliness. But, you know, the noise, the screaming, the shooting of the guns, the grenades, you know, it was like a third world nation. It was not America. It was not our capital, the temple of our democracy. It just seemed unfathomable. This certainly was unprecedented. We haven't known of an attack on the capital since, what was it, the War of 1812, or certainly in the 1800s. Just very suffocating. It, you know, you could tell people were getting really frightened and trying to not panic, but at the same time, move with every bit of strength that you had, so that you could get to that doorway and then begin the other escapade to move for yourself.
Now to absorb some local color through the magic of AM radio.
The book of Revelations tells us to watch for the seven signs of evil.
Wait, sign of evil number 4.
Continuing our sign of evil countdown, here's Vanessa Williams.
Very suddenly, I guess his name was probably Bruce. Beth from Athens. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
No sports, no rock, no information. For mindless chatter, we're your station.
Turn on the news replaces Donald Trump Theater at 3 p.m. Thursdays on WGXC after the inauguration. Picking up bits and pieces of the week's news and dropping them in a fictional radio network with computerized news readers, aggregated reporting, and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News every Thursday at 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Heather Lloyd of Kinderhook, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC. Like good old tap water. Just turn it on and get it.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes?
Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu, up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
Color, COVID, and the coup. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan in our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. President Donald Trump's second impeachment was swift and decisive, just 1 week after he incited a violent white supremacist mob attack on the U.S. Capitol that left five dead, including a Capitol Police officer. Accounts of the insurrection from several elected congresswomen of color capture the chaos of the moment and the many dangers they faced.
I was one of 12 trapped in the House gallery. I heard the shot being fired. I saw the smoke from the tear gas having been deployed. And I watched one officer with no protective equipment face a raging mob just outside the chamber.
That's Norma Torres, Democratic representative from South Los Angeles, speaking at a House Rules Committee meeting this week.
I answered my phone to my son, Christopher. The call lasted 27 seconds. All I could say, sweetheart, I'm okay. I'm running for my life. And I hung up.
Also trapped in the upper house gallery was Washington Congressmember Pramila Jayapal. She said the insurrectionists were domestic terrorists, many armed and many associated with white national groups. Her statement went on, tear gas was being used and we had to get down on the ground for cover. Capitol Police barricaded the doors with furniture and had their guns drawn. New York Congressmember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, known as AOC, said on a live stream the night before the impeachment vote,
I thought I was going to die. There were QAnon and white supremacist sympathizers and, frankly, white supremacist members of Congress in that extraction point, who I know and who I had felt would disclose my location, who would create opportunities to allow me to be hurt, kidnapped.
Ayanna Pressley is the first African-American congresswoman from Massachusetts. She did go to a secure room for a time with people sheltering shoulder to shoulder. She tweeted on Tuesday, "The second I realized our safe room from the violent white supremacist mob included treasonous white supremacist anti-masker members of Congress who incited the mob in the first place, I exited." She went on, furious that more of my colleagues are testing positive. Pressley's husband, who was with her at the Capitol, has since tested positive for COVID-19. Pramila Jayapal has also contracted COVID-19, likely in the same cramped multi-hour lockdown with unmasked Republicans during the siege. She continued in her statement only hours after President Trump incited a deadly assault on our Capitol, our country, and our democracy. Many Republicans still refuse to take the bare minimum COVID-19 precaution and simply wear a damn mask in a crowded room during a pandemic, creating a super spreader event on top of a domestic terrorist attack, she said. Her husband, who is not at the Capitol, has also tested positive. Congress's attending physician, Dr. Brian Monahan, said in an email 4 days after the attack about that secure room, quote, "The time in this room was several hours for some and briefer for others. Individuals may have been exposed to another occupant with coronavirus infection," he said. New Jersey Congressmember Bonnie Watson Coleman was also in a safe room and later tested positive. The 75-year-old African-American is a recent cancer survivor. She wrote an op-ed piece for the Washington Post, "I'm angry that after I spent months carefully isolating myself, a single chaotic day likely got me sick. I'm angry that the attack on the Capitol and my subsequent illness have the same cause, my Republican colleagues' inability to accept facts," she said. Her case highlights the potentially lethal risks that mask deniers selfishly pose on others around them. Detroit Congressmember Rashida Tlaib was not on the Capitol grounds during the assault, as she wasn't feeling great after receiving her first COVID-19 vaccination. She tweeted on Tuesday, as new security measures were implemented at the Capitol, quote, "Just had to go through a metal detector before entering the House floor. Some colleagues are frustrated, guess which ones, by this requirement. Now they know how high school students in my district feel. Suck it up, buttercups. Y'all brought this on yourselves," she tweeted. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has set fines of up to $10,000 for Congress members who refuse to pass through the metal detectors. People of color in the United States are more likely to die of gun violence. They're also more likely to contract COVID-19, and when they do, disproportionately suffer more serious consequences, including death. The violent white supremacist insurrection at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th put the ugly realities of racism and inequality in this country in stark relief. Taking these on remains the urgent challenge of our time. Trump's departure from the Oval Office is only the first step. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
Your forecast for this holiday weekend. Well, on Saturday, rain and snow before 10 a.m., then a chance of rain. Saturday's temperature high will be near 42 degrees. On Saturday night, a slight chance of rain and snow before 10 p.m., then a slight chance of more snow. It will be mostly cloudy with the temperature low of around 29. On Sunday, isolated snow showers before 1 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 39 degrees. And Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a low of around 28 degrees. And on Monday, Martin Luther King Day, mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 36 degrees. And Monday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 22. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
I'm
I'm Jess Spear for the Wave Farm Radio Art Archive, and I'm pleased to introduce this piece by British sound and radio artist Kef Matthews. For this piece, Matthews collaborated with the community to create programming for a radio station broadcasting from her studio in London's East End. Each contributor created a score for their piece by marking a route on a map to be performed by cyclists, with radios tuned to Radio Cycle 101.4 FM. The radio station broadcast programs continuously for a week in the summer of 2003, and we'll listen now to an excerpt from those performances.
101.4 FM. Radio Cycle. Have you heard us riding by?
But Dr. Blinov, I have a more basic question. What kind of waves do we speak about? What are these electromagnetic waves? Or what is this weird thing?
Waves, yes. As such.
Electromagnetic waves.
Electromagnetic waves. Radio waves.
Yes.
That's actually quite a peculiar thing. Because as far as I'm aware, still nobody really knows what that actually is.
Good afternoon, East London, from Radio Cycle on 101.4 FM.
So we have these weird things called electromagnetic waves or radio waves, and we can use them and we can make a radio program right now, which functions by using those waves, where we have a transmitter, and hopefully somebody out there, hello, has a receiver.
Radio Cycle 101.4 FM. Phone number 0207-923-9697.
I can actually hear us speak here, but we still don't know how it really works down on the kind of
theoretical level.
Theoretical level.
True, that's certainly true, that's certainly true.
Here in studio right now we have great guests.
You can't deny me, you can't decide to turn your face away.
So I guess first time.
I come from London and the rest too.
Oh, something inside so strong. Brothers and sisters, when they insist we're just not good enough, well, we know better. Just look them in the eyes and say, we're gonna do it anyway. We're gonna do it anyway. We're gonna do it anyway. We're gonna do it anyway.
It made me have a lot of emotions, and you see, so I like singing, so I thought I could do it on the radio. Now I finally realize, can't you see, that's the way I feel about you, baby.
Thank you.
Did you ever see a cow with a green eye down by the bay?
Okay, double trouble.
What?
And it's also £5.
No, they're different type. And I've got the Chaos Race. They're like evil gods, whatever. They all they want to do is cause destruction and chaos all over the world. They look extremely good, with like large axes, black armor, shining. Basically, you can't see anything but armor and weapons.
So, but then they also thought that the radio waves they propagate through the ether. But then they found out that there is no such thing as the ether, and the radio waves also propagate in the vacuum.
By the time the small, stiff body of the boy was finally discovered and laid on a hurdle in the snow-covered rushes, it was already deep twilight. The boys stood round, frightened, like shy birds, staring at the corpse and rubbing their stiff blue fingers.
True, and they discovered that the light also propagates through the vacuum, which is also quite a contradictory thing, because still nobody knows whether light is a wave or a particle, which is quite a bizarre thing. So, for a few hundred years, the idea of ether was really quite suspended.
Alright, okay. Big up the furious crew inside. Alright. I spit quick flow, six flows. Fighting me behind you on my tiptoes. Chaps and chain and phone, I'll take those. Take out you or the crew, who knows? And again, and I spit quick flow, six flows. Fighting me behind you on my tiptoes. Chaps and chain and phone, I'll take those. Take out you or the crew, who knows?
It's all about.
Alright. Okay, let me. Alright. Mixer. All right. Rude boy. All right. Rude boy, don't run up your tongue. Me and Newcastle, she won't get bun. Lewis don't get spat, they get flung. All over, cause that fat lady song say what? Do you want me to stop?
But, I find it interesting and hard to understand. I mean, Dr. Blinov, if we have a point A and a point B, and between those points we have a wave, an electromagnetic wave, does that wave actually travel?
It does travel.
I thought in a way the points are connected anyhow.
You see, basically the idea of wave presumes that there is some substance which basically exists between point A and point B. And the wave is a pressure front which actually propagates in it. Yes. Just like in the sea or like in an ocean, you've got to have water to have an ocean. If you've got the water, you have a very possibility to have a wave in it, which would be some kind of a front, which would be somehow different from the rest of it.
So have you applied like water understanding to air understanding?
Yes, that would be quite rightly, yes.
Okay, so here we have the map. Right, and the map that we have. We hear you in the house. We've got you in the house. Okay, that's fine. We'll be departing then at 2:40. We can delay everything here for 7 minutes. Because it's getting warm again suddenly. Okay, fine. Radio cycle in the house, delaying the first departure until 2:40. Okay, here comes the information for the first piece. The route from London Fields cyclists is to go out of Pub in the Park and you take a left down London Lane and you come across Exmouth Place, across Warburton Place, Tudor Road, and then you come down past Kendall House. And the road bends slightly round to the right, the bendy bit, and you're on the end of King Edward's Road. You bend round Skipworth, and then you come down into the Victoria Park. And you cycle round and round and round the park. The instruction was please that as many cyclists do this together as possible. If you're wondering what's going on, then call 0207-923-9697. You're tuned into Radio Cycle on 101.4 FM. Mario Radinovich's work for as many cyclists as possible to take a circuitous route around Victoria Park.
Thank you.
wave is simple. That's a wave in the pressure of the air, isn't
yes.
it?
The yes.
Change in the pressure of the air.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
One. Outside the computer room crew. Yes, all in one. Outside the ETO, outside the Roman crew. Outside the Runwell block. Outside the pit block crew. Yeah. It's all in. Stubble. Lock off man on deck. Blunt. Inside. Okay. I'm in the vets right now. And you guys be trying to test right now. You're going to get the vets right now. Big test under the vets right now. Let's never come and try to test right now. You're going to have big test right now. So don't come and get the vets right now. AK standard, AK standard.
Thank you, Victoria Willis. The next thing you're going to hear is an important announcement from President Nixon concerning national security.
I do not mind homosexuality, I understand. But nevertheless, the point that I make is that, goddamn, I do not think that you glorify on public television homosexuality. The reason you don't glorify it, John, any more than you glorify whores. Now, we all know people go to whores. We all know that people are just do that. We all have weaknesses and so forth and so on. But goddammit, what do you think that does to kids?
But I did prepare.
Cycle 101.4 FM. Hold on, folks. We're being bled into by some pirate who's done us a dirty. Now, I met him just last summer, and it was a completely chance meeting, so I just want to say welcome, Bobby.
Tonight, for all brothers and sisters in the house, Radio Cycle, Bobby FM, coming live for you, and you, and you, and you, for I, and I, and I, and I.
How unworthy to receive glory, honor, and power.
Tonight in studio, both are writers and...
I'm really worried about consumerism because that means basically we have no human exchange. It's a machine logic. It's all about money, it's about numbers, and so...
But it's also the example of what we call commodity fetishism, you know. The commodity presents itself without any connection to where it comes from. So you look at something and you buy it and you don't think about all those connections that came behind this phone was made here by these people, and it's our society naturally does that. So in that sense, you know, you don't know whether of the coffee you buy has been done by some good cooperative somewhere, or it's been done by some cockroach capitalist slaving his workers. So in that sense, maybe that is a problem in our society, that we don't feel happy in our own consumerism because we don't know where it comes from.
So you lift up into the air. At first you feel this kind of tingling in your whole body.
What we're really interested in is making a history film about the present, about right now.
We have here with us Shireen and Yasmin from Hackerston School. They have travelled all the way to come and talk to us about rap music and do they think it influenced the youth of today. Are you ready, you two?
Yeah.
Okay. What type of music do you two listen to?
Well, I like R&B, garage, soul, hip-hop and a bit of rock.
We quite like this idea of finding information from different places and bringing it together, and it's a series we did. This one's called A Cup of Tea. You brought a tea bag to the show and the sound source was the kettle boiling. You listened to it in the front room of this house, which had been stripped of everything, and the walls had been lined with speakers. About 200 or 300 domestic speakers taken out of things like TVs, radios.
Introduce yourself.
Thank you. Yes, hello, good morning. I'm a visual artist, as Kafer said, and I also have been keeping diaries. The image of melting toffee comes to mind and breaking into pieces. I looked at the broken pieces on the ground, thinking I liked these.
London, and here in studio we have Caroline. Hi. And we have, do you want to tell me?
It's a song that was written by Mikey and myself the week after the big anti-war protest in Hyde Park.
Did you see 2 million feet marching down the street that Saturday? Were you there and did you hear Jesse Jackson speak that Saturday? Can I put my finger on the million reasons for being there? Only that I care. All in all, the only push I'm ever gonna trust is my own. It's my
We have a caller on line 21, Patrick from Doncaster. Hello, Patrick.
Hi. I've just been listening to your programme, and I just wanted to say about the previous guest that I've just been, well, blown away by the poetry of it. It's amazing. It's beautiful, you know, what he's saying about language. It's just the medium of our time.
Yeah, I got that.
So, Patrick, have you come across any of Mr. Ugoda's work before?
Well, yeah, you know, and Learning Resource Centre here in Doncaster.
Oh, great. So, this Sunday afternoon, what are you up to then?
I'm going to write, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.